friends, Jim Nantz style. What's up? Welcome in, Grant and Danny on the Fan, Tuesday, August 18th, 2026. We will take you all the way up to 6:30 tonight, 4.5 hours from right now at 4 o'clock. When we go blitzing around the Beltway, we'll have a four-pack of tickets for somebody to the Grand Prix 250 right here in D.C. The IndyCar is going to be flying around the DMV for the first time ever this weekend.
I'm excited about that. It's cool. I like unique sporting events, things that you don't normally watch. I mean, I talk about this with the Olympics all the time, where I'm not a fencing fan. I've never seen fencing on TV or followed a fencing league or anything like that. When fencing's on and there's a USA on one of the sides, all of a sudden I become the biggest foil fan. And I'm like breaking down technique and getting excited about people scoring points and parries and everything under the sun. I love that. This is unique. I've never been to an IndyCar race. I don't think I've ever really spent more than a couple of minutes here or there watching it on television. But it's right outside. It's like 2 blocks from here where they're going to start doing the track. It's pretty neat, man.
Nats Rangers tonight on the Fan in the 8 o'clock hour. I think Toby's got a short overtime when we're done between us and the ball game. So make sure you listen to Tobevertime this evening. But we'll be live and local deep into the night on the Fan. I want to talk C.J. Abrams at some point today because his agent actually spoke publicly on record to The Athletic and Spencer Nussbaum. And we've got some thoughts from C.J.'s camp now and his agency on the move to second base. I continue to think this is going to be tough for business trying to get an extension done with him this offseason. And the chances of him possibly being traded may have gone up a little bit when they moved him off the shortstop position, which we can get into. Was out at Commanders practice today, and the Junks were there as well. It was Sports Junkies Day at Commanders practice. They got a bunch of great interviews you'll be hearing all week long on their show. I saw Terry McLaurin was in their tent, Chig Okonkwo, Adam Peters, you name it. They talked to him, so make sure you listen to the Junks throughout the week here on The Fan. But here's what really surprised me today. Dan Quinn has talked a lot about this section of camp.
Yep.
Today and tomorrow being really, really important. He's been calling it like one of the last big periods where they're with themselves to get a lot done. And he had said several times on the record that they were going to be in pads today and tomorrow. They weren't in pads today. So they had their game on Friday night, which the vast majority of the key players on the team did not play in. Just shy of 30 players did not play in that game on Friday night. Of the 53 that will make the team, mind you. And so you have 29 guys that didn't do anything Friday night anyway, other than maybe some sprints before the game. Then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, yesterday even, they're off. There aren't practices. They're not getting after it, which is totally understandable. Think about the NFL after a Sunday game. It's typically Wednesday before you're back on the practice field doing anything physical. But I thought for sure in the middle of training camp, without a joint practice this week, and just because we were told it would be a padded practice today and a padded practice tomorrow, they're going to get 2 hours each day of padded work in. And there they were in shells for a pretty short practice that was around 90 minutes today with a couple special teams periods baked in. Mm-hmm. Tressway punting for the first time. They did some like punting and kicking stuff. By the way, shout out to new kicker Drew Stevens, who won the job, who was 6 of 6 with a made field goal from 60 yards today. But it was what I would consider, having been at every single practice, one of the lighter practices that they have had. I mean, Toby, would you agree with me that, like, you were there? They had a, and I'm not knocking this, someone will do some kind of video where I'm a tough guy saying this shouldn't happen. That's not what I'm doing. But like, they had a hydration period. They had a punting period. They had a kicking period. And they, of the 90-minute practice without pads today, it was kind of light.
Yeah, definitely the first portion was light. It felt like maybe after when Dan Quinn assembled the whole team was like, we got to pick this up a little bit. It's felt like the intensity picked up, but the beginning portion was like, me and you could have run through practice.
They were going through the motions. And I bring all this up to say, you and I talked a lot yesterday about, are they going to play in the game against the Detroit Lions on Saturday? And I was kind of 50-50, not really sure, don't know what the plan is. I now think that they're going to, but they have to. And the reason I say that is, Danny, a lot of the guys on the team have not had a real practice since the Dolphins were here on Wednesday last week. Mm-hmm. They will have gone a full calendar week between legitimate practice. And they will have a padded practice tomorrow, but I'm told they're not going to have pads on Thursday. So there's one padded practice between a Friday preseason game that most guys don't play in and a Saturday preseason game that potentially a lot of guys don't play in. Without going full Herm Edwards from yesterday, football players play football, I'm now on team, they got to get some work in on Saturday in Detroit. It's not anymore like a, they should probably play guys. The way that they're doing their practice schedule tells me expect to see starters against the Lions, and if you don't, now I got some questions.
So I understand the trend line. I'm even in favor of it, to be honest with you, about less preseason play. When I was a kid, it was, you know, the first game, I can't remember the exacts, but you'd get a quarter, or, you know, the second game, you get a half, the third game, you get three quarters, last game, you'd rest because there were four. And, you know, now we've kind of wisened up. The season's longer, 17 games, more wear and tear. There's Thursday night football where there wasn't in the 80s. I mean, there's push and pull. Used to be those guys had to get off-season jobs and were out of shape, and part of training camp going two a day was to work yourself back into shape. Times have changed. These guys show up usually in really, really good condition. So there's, you know, always kind of the health versus rust or health versus effectiveness thing that coaches have to weigh. And you think of some of the great conversations on Hard Knocks, even though, you know, it's kind of a punchline now, but Hugh Jackson sitting in that chair for the Cleveland Browns, and everyone's like begging him, please, please, we got to work hard. And he's like, when you're sitting in this chair, it's just different. Now, whether you believe him or not, want to laugh at him or not, still the point, I understand there is a push and pull. But here's just how I am in general in my life. If something disastrous happens, based on pretty tangible courses of action that I took, and I have a way to do something different if I get a chance to do that thing again, it's going to look different. It just is. I'm going to do it differently. That said, more simply, last year they were complacent. They were relaxed. They were didn't feel any urgency. And they just sort of cruised through the training camp, preseason, and the like. Some of it was bad luck. Some of the vets were banged up, et cetera. Time of year is what it is. But the other part to me was this feeling of we've arrived. We're one of the elites now, and we've got to play the long game. We've got to be ready for January football, not September football. And they never got there, and they were awful. And they were bad from start to finish. The injuries happened, and it cascaded and got worse. I would have a raging fire behind me, a near panic every morning that I got up going, am I doing enough to prevent that? The thing we just lived, this horrible season where from Jump Street we were doomed, and I'd be doing it differently. Again, whether that means play a guy two possessions, three possessions, whatever, you would not catch me after a preseason game, it's just that no one played, doing nothing. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, walkthrough Tuesday. You wouldn't.
So to be clear, more. It wasn't a walkthrough. It was a practice.
I know. I'm seeing. You're right.
It was a real practice in shells. Like they were thumping, but it's just shells. It's closer to a walkthrough, I'd say, or probably closer to a jog through than a padded practice in some ways. They may push back on that. But we're having two conversations that are a little bit different, I'd say. You're looking at the grand scheme from coming in wondering how different will this camp be from last year, where the revisionist history and the hindsight having become wisdom was they didn't do enough to get ready for the season.
Well, I was saying there at the time where the second day of training camp, it was vet days off. That was the thing. And I went, oh my God, emergency.
Right. But I'm saying after the fact, a lot of people decided like that wasn't a good enough camp. They got to do it different next year.
Okay.
I'm not even using today as an indictment to have that conversation. That's not the discussion I'm trying to have. I'm always very careful anyway, as a portly fellow who's out of shape, talking about the in-shape gentlemen running around and busting their butts every single day and how hard they're working. All I'm trying to do is have a conversation about Saturday night and the Detroit Lions, where I think there's an argument to be had when you have the joint practice, like you did against the Dolphins, that you don't need to play in the game that weekend. No problem. When you have a joint practice, assuming the Ravens don't bail on you again this year, and because they don't have to come to your place, you're going to their place, it's less likely that they are going to say, we're not going to practice against you. So you're probably going to get your joint work, very important work in, with Baltimore next week. And then you're not going to play in that preseason game. No problem. The only way that you can convince me this week, Danny, that you don't need to play in that preseason game against the Lions without a joint practice is if we found out they were having a team scrimmage. Remember last year's Burgundy versus Gold when they did that?
Oh, they're very excited about that.
When the Ravens bailed. Or if you had back-to-back days of two-hour, 20-minute practices where you just got after it and it was the most physical, intense period of the entire training camp, which to me is what it sounded like Dan Quinn was kind of setting up at press conferences. He talked about this being a really important block, he kept calling it. These 2 days, these 48 hours, this is one of our last big blocks. And it starts today with the team not in pads. Now, I'm guessing a bunch of guys are banged up coming out of the game. I know Adafe Owe today is an example. Kalavon Chaisson, not on the practice field. And you're going to have some bumps and some bruises after your first game. A lot of the guys, including the two I just named, didn't play in that game. But you're going to get guys banged up, no doubt about that. Fine. One padded practice tomorrow, great. Now, Saturday, I need you to play. So all of this is to say, while today getting out there expecting to have this huge padded practice that I didn't get to see, that was a little frustrating, I actually think we're more likely now to see the starters and Jaden Daniels on Saturday night. If we don't, we can have a very different conversation on Monday about the preseason, about training camp, about the readiness. Are they going to be able to hit the ground sprinting against this tough schedule? I think everything's on the table after that. But for right now, I'm kind of waiting and seeing and assuming that this is all leading up to maybe they're planning out the week four, like starters for a quarter against the Lions. And then things make a little bit more sense.
Fair. I'm still not done with my part, though, that I know you're trying to move on from. How could, even if you did what we're asking, or what I don't want to put words in your mouth, what I think you're asking for, multiple possessions, a quarter, quarter and a half, whatever that boils down to, right? If you go three and out twice, you get six plays. That's probably not enough. Whatever the number is, 15 plays, 20 plays for starters, including Daniels and whoever else. How could you still be off on Monday of this past week where a bunch of the guys that we're talking about didn't play? You know what I mean? And then not ramp up. I mean, to me, it's the overall totality of it where they're going to be pat themselves on the back because they did, you know, kind of a pro forma thing, what the minimum needed to get guys ready to play Saturday. But I don't know. I mean, to me, it's still the same. And I hate using this word because, as you said, I'm not an in-shape NFL football player, but I can observe it's the same soft approach that led to disaster last year. And they don't seem to think that. Like, again, how could, in good conscience, I understand the day after a preseason game, be off Saturday. By all means, nothing Sunday, nothing Monday, and lighter than we thought on Tuesday, and we're going to play 15 plays on Saturday, assuming they even do that, and we're supposed to go, yep, you guys are ready to rock and roll. Job well done. It just doesn't sit well with me.
You know what I'm curious about? I'm going to look this up. What does the Dolphins' practice schedule look like after that game on Friday? Was today their first practice since Friday, and were they not in pads? Because it would be interesting to see if this is more, like if your anger should just be at the state of the league in 2026, I think that's possible. That this is a cultural NFL-wide thing, or if this is more of a Dan Quinn thing. Whereas Halfley, who was coaching at Boston College and also a defensive mind, you would think the defensive guys are sometimes the more hard-ass type coaches that want guys out there in pads more often, hitting and being physical. But I'm just looking at their camp schedule here. So this is just the public dates. But, I mean, today was their first public date since last Monday. So I guess I'll have to text a beat reporter to see what their actual
schedule is. Remember, they were up here Wednesday. So, yeah. So they wouldn't have had open to public on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday because it was all up here.
But they also could have been practicing yesterday or, you know, Sunday and not had it open.
Yeah, Saturday you'd be forgiven for traveling back from the game or whatever. I don't know. I mean, it's easy to say. What I don't like is on multiple fronts, when it comes to the business side, they go, well, this is the league trend of not having open training camp dates. Yes, that is the league trend, but you lead the league in it. Like the arrow's going in one direction and you're at the front of that tip of that arrow with the least amount of open practices or among the least. Why do that? Why not be in the middle? Why not be towards the top of in another direction? If you're coming off a disastrous year, please treat it as a disaster, not some weird aberration. Please treat it like this, like the I guess the word I want is urgency, and I don't see it. I want the urgency. I want the urgency that so many fans like me have, where I'm going, if I sensed the desperation to never, ever, ever make any of us go through what we went through last year, I would feel a lot better. I'm not questioning the guys, you know, are they doing the lifts? Are they doing the workouts? Of course they're all working hard. I want to feel the urgency that I feel in my gut when I wake up in the morning every day to never have a year like last year again, and I don't get paid.
Well, it's totally true that this week you haven't felt that.
Yeah, like, and that's kind of my
really
point.
Leading up to and since preseason game one. But they also, there's a timing element of this. I'm going to try to play devil's advocate here a little bit. The opener for the season is on Sunday the 11th, right? Let me think here. No. September 13th is the first game, right? I think that's right. That's Sunday afternoon.
Double check, yeah.
Which means you still have
just under a month from now.
3+ weeks, you know, leading up to that. So you have to hit the ground sprinting. Like this week might not be the week to slam the gas pedal down if next week you're doing that with the Ravens. We'll see. I mean, I'm also willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and defer to them, but you got to come out and play well at the start of the year. If you look like crap against the Eagles after all of this, you probably did it wrong. If you play Philly and Dallas and Seattle and you're 0-3 and you've been handed your butt three times. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have some questions about the time you went a calendar week without having anyone in pads in the middle of August. Because if you're Stephon Diggs or Terry McLaurin or Frankie Louvu or you know, a really important player like Daron Payne or Javon Kinlaw, as of right now, you have not had a legitimate hitting practice since last Wednesday until tomorrow. You're going a full
calendar. You'll go a full week.
This was Dan Quinn on the Junkies today out in Ashburn talking about the possibility of playing Jaden Daniels in the starters in preseason game two.
We haven't got there yet. Like the next 2 days, we're still like back into our camp space to go. So I kind of look at the whole
team.
Pause
real quick. You know, that is a very rare space to go.
Camp space to go.
You don't normally, you get in that space and you get to go, but you almost never get in that space and to go.
He's spaced and to go right there.
That's bonus. That's like an IOU 250 thou right there.
Everybody's bingo card just lit up.
Anyway, but he listen to how much he talks about these 2 days and how important they are.
Yep.
And I reiterate again that they had originally said they'd be in pads today. Like, this is not me just expecting and assuming they'd be in pads because they've been off for a few days. We had been told pads on Tuesday and Wednesday. Those are the padded days this week. And now it looks like only Wednesday. But anyway.
We haven't got there yet. Like, the next 2 days, we're still, like, back into our camp space to go. So I kind of look at the whole team, you know, once we get through, like, Thursday, and then we can decide who we're going in. But with new systems today, tomorrow, man, like back to camp and going to dig in. So that's right. Where we're at today.
What are the pros and cons of playing versus not playing? Obviously not playing, the pro is they don't get hurt.
Right, so that's the pro. The pro is new systems, timing, you know, new looks. So when you had the joint, that helps when you have the joint practices to get some of those guys work in that space. But just having the time together in a game, it helps for sure. And then also, like, going through the entire routine of what it looks like to go play.
Dan Quinn with the Junkies earlier today. So we've talked since yesterday about whether or not we'll see the starters. I think based on the fact that they're only going to get the one padded practice in tomorrow, and because they'll have gone a week between hitting, they really, really should be playing the starters. I'm also assuming they already know their plan, and they're working back from that plan. Like he suggested, we're going to get through Thursday, then we'll make up our minds and see. I don't think that's how it works. I think that's what you say because you don't want to admit, whether it's to the Junkies this morning on the Fan or reporters at the podium, what you're doing. But I think this is all laid out. It's like Blake Butera's spring training binder that he shows us. He knows on March 1 what they're doing on March 24th on backfield number 4. And I think a lot of this is laid out, and they know exactly how much guys are going to play on Saturday. And you work back from that, and that's why maybe you can be a little bit lighter today. Because you know you'll get work in tomorrow and that guys will get those game reps on Saturday. But I'm curious to see what people think about that. 800-636-1067 is the number. A, do you think starters and Jaden Daniels play on Saturday in Detroit? B, do you think the way this week is going and the fact that they've gone a week between padded practices now, do you think that that is indicative of the fact that they should play in a game? Or do you think they're perfectly fine, the pace with which they're operating, the urgency, to use Danny's word, is okay? And even if guys don't play at all in the preseason, with kind of how this camp has trended here, getting a little bit lighter and taking their foot off the gas pedal some with the physicality, you're okay with that. 800-636-1067, G&D on the Fan. Coming up at 3 o'clock on Grant and Danny, there was a report from Adam Schefter today that we are going to get an NFL team based full-time internationally over the next 20 years. Do you actually buy that? I think this is posturing, and I'll explain why, coming up in like a half hour. But I think that's a fascinating conversation. We can get Mike Florio on late in the show to talk about this as well. But we've been heading in this direction.
Yeah.
Snail's pace for a long time. I still would bet against it long term. I just think there's too many logistical issues. But I know why the league keeps dangling it and floating it and pretending and saying that this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, I was talking to one of my sons, I think it's my oldest son, the other day about this, where he kind of was like, why are they going to London, or why are they going to these other places international to play? And the explanation I can give to him is, if you go to a mine and you are tap, tap, tapping the wall, and it's like, okay, we can't get any more iron out of here, or all the gold or all the silver is gone, where can we go? You got to go to a new mine somewhere else. That's what they've done here in North America. It's pretty tapped. Now, you go to Mexico City for a game here and there, you get some fans in Canada, but there isn't that much more critical mass that they can grow football. That's where the growth is. It's to make all the guys in Liverpool in the soccer offseason go, I need something to do. Well, how about following the New York Jets? Or how about following the Arizona Cardinals? Whatever the hell. That's where it is. That's where the money is.
Let's get you some notes from practice, and then I want to get back into the topic at hand. We're asking you guys, what's your prediction for how much starters play on Saturday based on how they're handling practices, including today not having pads? Feels like maybe they're ramping up to get a bunch done against the Lions. 800-636-1067. So first thing I'll say is Jaden Daniels got a lot more reps today than he typically has because he essentially replaced Mariota with the second team.
He was first and second team. I like that.
For the most part. I mean, Ethan Kaliak-Manis did get some of the second team work, but it was a lot of Daniels with team one, Daniels with team two. And so in a way, maybe a little bit of a blessing in disguise to not have Mariota out there, assuming he's back for week one, because it does give Daniels a little bit more time on task in these practices. Now, this was not, as we've talked about quite a bit, a padded practice, or the pace, the tempo of this practice largely was not at the level of a game by any means. So I don't know how helpful it is overall, but it's still good reps against a starting defense, showing you those looks, you know, buzzing with some of the Durante Jones disguises and things on the back end. On Kaliak-Manis, I'll point this out. Kaliak-Manis got some of the second team work that Mariota would have gotten and certainly was elevated above Sam Hartman today in a very noticeable way to me. After the game tape that he put out there, where I thought he was the second best quarterback to Mariota, you know, in the game, for what it's worth, and better than Hartman, Hartman got a very rare rep or two here or there with like the down the depth chart guys. But Kaliak-Manis outsnapped him and was the next guy in after Daniels in all of the series that they had. I say this to say there was also a period where he first snap he got with like the twos, so to speak, twos and threes, mashup. He dropped the snap and picked it up and threw it. But there was another play where they got out of the huddle. There was like a false start on Trent Scott where he's looking back like, did we have this right? Did we call this right? And there was a little confusion. And I wonder if there's more of that, if they wouldn't think about bringing in a veteran quarterback to have just to get some more practice work in for some of these guys that need it. Not to necessarily say Kaliak-Manis isn't ready, but if you're having some of that stuff in practice.
You have too many of those, then the tight end can't catch the pass, or the receiver, or the running back, yeah.
And we already know that Kaliak-Manis and Hartman early in the season would not get to play. If something happens to Daniels and he's unavailable in week one and Mariota's not ready, then they're calling Jimmy Garoppolo, or they're calling some other dude who's available.
Don't take our word for it, take theirs. They did it last year. In a lost season, when they were 4-1, having lost 9 straight games, they could not bear with the possibility of having a guy that's been in their building for multiple years start a meaningless football game. They had to call Josh Johnson.
Another thing I wrote down was they signed a lot of guys today. Kind of weird for this point of camp. This is why I think they did have a bunch of dudes that were banged up, and maybe that's part of why they're not padded today. So linebacker Chris Barnes, D-tackle Maurice Hurst II, tight end Trey McKitty, and running back Craig Reynolds all made their first practice debut with Washington today, kind of signed overnight into today after a workout. Reynolds is the most interesting name here. Do you remember Hard Knocks with the Lions when they had to keep him on the roster because like he was the guy that most
kind of personified
was the version of what they wanted to be, the grit and all the stuff Dan Campbell talks about? He's every staff's favorite guy, and Blau knows him very well, I'd imagine, from their time with the Lions. I don't know how he figures in here. Maybe he's ultimately just a practice squad guy if McNichols isn't ready to start the year. I don't know that you bring a guy like that in to cut him in a couple weeks. I guess that's possible, just to kick the tires. Maybe you're Blau and you have a relationship with him and you tell him you'll get him some preseason tape or whatever so that he can go get a job elsewhere. But that was a weird one for me after the way Henry played, after he gave Katron Allen 23 attempts. I guess that just speaks to the fact that McNichols is still farther away than maybe we think to return from his injury.
That's how I read it. It was directly a McNichols correspondence and nothing else. A corresponding move, rather. You know what I mean? It's a, we know Bill, we know Rashad White, we know Katron Allen now after all of his carries, and we got something in Robert Henry. Well, it'll be interesting to see what he does in the second preseason game, or if they kind of stash him saying we know what we got. That to me was a, we need a McNichols-like figure in here to take some of those reps as we divvy him up the rest of the preseason.
Bates was back today, and Allegretti was back today.
Both really important, by the way.
Yeah, hugely important on the field. Everyone's talked a lot about how they haven't been able to run the ball at practice that well. And they actually, obviously, ran it pretty well against the Dolphins in the preseason game. When they're down the depth chart guys were on the
twos
field.
Twos were on twos, yeah.
Not necessarily really early in that game when Katron Allen started, but Bates is your best run-blocking tight end who hadn't practiced since the first couple days. And the center position's kind of important to the blocking procedures up front, you would imagine. So getting those two guys back could unlock their running game some.
One would hope. I mean, because the again, this is based on people that are covering the team tweeting details from practice against Miami and kind of others. It's the interior push that was not there. So, you know, Cosme's still the same, obviously. Center position was, you know, Good Jones or Golbin or somebody, you know, whether they're playing guard, et cetera. But it was the interior push that wasn't happening. So you'd hope the return of Allegretti, who, again, they let Tyler Biadasz go for nothing, thinking that this guy could step in and do it. Speaking of Biadasz, he was carted off his practice today with the Chargers. Just terrible news for him. Hopefully he's okay. But, yeah, this is a lot of confidence here. That's Allegretti's gig, and he needs to step up and do it, and he hasn't been there. So it'll be TBD. That interior running was basically not available to them, according to those that were watching.
Yeah, that's a bummer about Tyler Biadasz, too. For those of you that missed that story today, carted off from Chargers practice after he got the three-year deal for $30 million, I think it was. And remember, they were so high on him that Jim Harbaugh went
picked him up at the airport,
drove to the airport, and scooped him up from baggage claim number 6. Not like social media content. They didn't have a camera rolling for Chargers.com. Just because Jim Harbaugh was steamed up to bring in Tyler Biadasz for whatever reason, he was that happy about it.
Yeah.
After Washington had cut him, that he went and got him from the airport. Like his kind of lunch pail guy, I guess. But, all right, let's pay off the conversation we were having earlier. So, what would you ask of the starters in Detroit if you were coaching? You're Danny Quinn.
We are going...
By the way, Danny Quinn.
You're Dan Quinn.
You're Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't have to stretch that far.
I was thinking, like, what would his name be?
Danilo, Daniel. Danny.
Wait. Literally the same.
Yeah, Dan Quinn. You can do Dan for that. That's totally, yeah. It's not the craziest thing in the world. Are my practices still all this soft and there's infinite days off like I've done it?
You're so calling
I'm just
your
jumping
shot.
In. All right, so A, we're going to practice. I'm going to go back in time and practice Sunday and yesterday and today. But whatever. For this game, we're going to go into the second quarter. I'm not going to say, okay, the offense gets two possessions, and if they don't do anything, which is not the craziest thing in the world, and you punt twice, you're not just sitting down. We are going to play. We're going to play into the second quarter, both sets of ones.
Into the second quarter is fun. I'm psyched for that. I don't know that I would go that far. I mean, I'd be thrilled if they did, and I certainly don't have any issue with that. I think I am probably, it's a number of plays, and maybe it ends up being into the second quarter, depending on... Like, if you give up a 14-play, 97-yard drive that takes 7 minutes off the clock to open the game against the Lions, then maybe we are playing into the second quarter. Because if you're an offense, your second drive is going to be in the second quarter. Defensively, you might be done if I'm giving you 15 to 18 snaps and 14 come on that first drive. But I think I'm in that 15 to 20 snap threshold. And I think that does get you closer to being in good shape. Another thing that I wanted to point out, I heard EB say this on the Junks today, and it's a point that I've made before. He said something to the effect of, I don't know how much two series or like a handful of plays really helps you. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this in the past, and I've always kind of felt that.
That's how I feel.
I don't feel that way anymore, necessarily. Because I guess my point is, then why does anything matter? Like, what is the threshold between 7 plays and 12 plays? 12 plays is helpful, but 7 isn't? 15 plays definitely helps you. We all agree there. So where is that line exactly? So this idea of like going out there for one drive and 6 plays, how much different is that than 0? And I would say, well, it's 6 plays different. You know, it's everything that you do in terms of going through the motions on a game day, I think, is relevant. The other part that not enough people are talking about with Jaden Daniels, he has not played in a game since a month before the end of last season. Does nobody care about that? As I know it's not October, but there is a element of, let's get him onto the field to just go through the motions one time before you're doing it against the Philadelphia Eagles, who might have the number one defense in the NFL. If you guys are comfortable with him not having played since early December and the final month of the season being out and just whatever rust is getting knocked off and it's okay, we'll just handle it all in that first week of the season. Cool, I guess. I think I want to do some of that. We always hear about like the mental hurdles you have to clear and the contact.
Rather do that sooner. Yeah.
All of that stuff. You don't take any contact at practice. You know, you're breaking a sweat because it's hot out, but the asks are very, very different. Do some of that stuff with really low stakes against the Lions in a noon game on a Saturday that doesn't matter at all. Not when, if you lose, that's 1/17th of your season and it counts a whole lot against you. So I just think there hadn't been enough focus on, rust might not be the right word, but he hadn't played in a while.
Yeah.
That Vikings game, he missed a lot of time as well.
No, totally true. And yeah, to me, the big picture is how many games he missed. I'm less concerned about it was December 7th versus January 4th, the last time he played.
But
unless some other guys played, there's always 9 months between
sure,
for everybody.
But there's a lack of accrued game speed and opportunity and reps, and they add up.
That's the part I care about. I care about he hasn't played 25 games yet. And that's why I was freaking out this offseason before they signed Stephon Diggs going, how could we put any more obstacles in front of him? How could it be anything other than the best O-line money can buy, the best set of receivers and pass catchers and blockers and everything money could buy? They signed Diggs and everything's different now, but that's why I was freaking out. I'm going, he has not played enough yet. And that's a part of this conversation as well. So yeah, but I'm less concerned about if it was December 7th or 20th or you know, January 4th when the last game was or whatever, but I think the point stands.
If it was October, would you feel like some rust, basically? You're saying the month isn't a big deal or it never matters?
I think everybody comes back. You haven't played in 9 months. So if it's 9 months or 10 months, now if it's a year, if it's 2 years, okay, now it's a different thing.
How about let me say it this way. He's played one game since the beginning of November. He's played two games since the middle of October.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about that than
I think this is important. Let me throw this out here. He has played two NFL games since before Halloween. Two.
Yeah.
We don't want to just get him out there to run around and feel the speed of the game again before you got to deal with the number one defense in the league and the Philadelphia Eagles, maybe?
Yeah.
That should be an important thing to do.
Yeah, that's my view as well. I mean, we get there in different ways. I mean, to me, I go back to, I think, a baseball. In spring training, playing one spring training game doesn't do it. So getting, you know, I know it's not exactly equivalent, but let's say you did the equivalent of an NFL season or a Major League Baseball season. If you get four games worth of two at-bats, that's not enough. To me, again, it's the totality of work that needs to be put in. And I'm going to keep hammering this. Every practice day that you don't do, that it's off, that it's walkthrough, and there's still some stuff getting on the walkthroughs, but that it's not as intense as it should be, you're not going to be ready for the season. And so I agree with EB's point in general, because it's my point. If you play 10 plays, eight of them are handoffs, you know, and one's a screen pass or something to make sure you don't get hit, I don't know how much of a difference that makes in the grand scheme. The difference is, what are we doing for these months at a time to make sure we're ready for the season? It's not a questioning of Jaden Daniels' effort. He's getting guys together and throwing and this, that, and the other. But with team together practicing stuff, I cannot imagine squandering the days that they have.
I also think mentally it's important to go out there and to get through that quarter. His last three games he's played, like the only times he's played in a game since October 13th, he's left with an injury. At Dallas, a hamstring. Seattle, elbow. At Minnesota, elbow.
Yeah,
like you can't tell me mentally it wouldn't be good for him just to get out there, run around, leave the game healthy, and just remember what that feels like too.
Totally,
having heard all offseason about his own durability and whether or not he can stay upright and all that stuff. Grant and Danny on the Fan will spin you around the NFL. Some big names finding homes the last couple of days, including a potential Hall of Fame wide receiver and a guy who will definitely be in the Hall as a pass rusher who's coming to the NFC East. That's next. All of our training camp conversations on the show are brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Let's go around the NFL. Von Miller signing a deal with the Dallas Cowboys. He will be in the division playing against Washington twice, including in week two. I think people forget, as far as the eight-time Pro Bowler goes, that he had the quietest 9 sacks in recent team history.
Library quiet.
He could still help, though. You get him on the field, down and distance being correct, you know, third down, an obvious passing situation. I do think he can get to the quarterback, probably a 5.5 to 7 sack guy max this year. But at 37 years old, hunting a Super Bowl, he's still helpful. Multi-time Super Bowl champion, prolonging his career, going back to where it all began. He is a Texas native from DeSoto, and now he plays with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't worry about him or fear him like you once did. But the Cowboys have been trying to improve that defense. And if they can just get to league average on defense, a lot like Washington, that offense is going to cook with George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb and Javonte Williams in the backfield. Dak Prescott's a plug-and-play, 4,200-yard, 34-touchdown kind of guy. That is a deep playoff-run team if their defense is good.
And they've reshaped it. I mean, this was Micah Parsons and the traveling Parsonettes, and it's a whole bunch of new players and bits of personnel here. Everything from Donovan Ezeraku to guys they acquired in that trade to free agents to, I mean, they are now beefed up front to try to stop the run, and they are you know, maybe a little bit more multiple than they were before. Where, listen, you're going to run on us. Hopefully we've got enough points where maybe Micah Parsons can sack you. That was the old plan. Now, it's a ton of changes to that defense, including Caleb Downs, who they drafted this year, among some other players. They are emphasizing defense, and you're 100% right. Von Miller's in the perfect spot. I don't need you to play 100% of the snaps anymore. Play 35% and sit up a couple pass rushes.
They signed 5 new starters and drafted Caleb Downs. So 6 of the 11 are going to be new, including Rashawn Gary at outside linebacker and D. Winters at linebacker on the second level. They're going to be faster for sure, like Washington, in that linebacking core. Kobe Durant's going to play a lot for them at corner. They brought over from the Rams. I watched Downs' preseason opener. He made a couple of plays. The only thing that I worry about with him, it's not unlike the Sonny Styles or Arvell Reese thing, who, by the way, is playing off the ball as a linebacker, not as an edge for the Giants, which is interesting. But the further you get away from the ball, and this is just the old thought on safety value, the harder it is to always impact a game. And so, like, when you're watching the Sonny Styles all 22 from every one of his reps, he's just kind of getting cardio, running around for the most part. But he's around the play a lot more. Whereas Downs was so far back playing center field, he's just running up there as tackles are being made a lot of the time. I'll be curious to see how they use him. It was very vanilla. He's a good football player, though. He's going to help them a lot.
I loved him. I was just, when I knew, as soon as I see the math and it's like, oh God, they're going to take Caleb Downs, aren't they? That broke my heart.
We're still about 2 weeks away from making our season predictions on the show. Every division, every team going through, you know, all the clubs and picking records and things. But I've already let the cat out of the bag. I've got the Cowboys winning the division. I think the Eagles come back to the pack a little bit. I'm not as high on Philly. I don't like the fit of Jalen Hurts with his new coordinator, Sean Mannion. I think that offense is going to sputter a little bit without A.J. Brown. And I think Dallas is going to cook with the football. They got to be better on defense, be opportunistic. But if they are, I think they're going to be very, very tough team to beat. Obviously on the schedule for Washington in week 2, brutal start to their season, Eagles, Cowboys, Seahawks before they go to London. The other story last night was that Keenan Allen found a home. Allen looks like a future Hall of Famer at wide receiver. He gets a deal with the Indianapolis Colts. Now, I don't know that he gets in. Like, for me, he wouldn't. I just think he's accumulated enough numbers now in the NFL where a lot of guys get in just based on kind of lifetime achievement. He's over 1,000 catches and over 12,000 yards with 70 touchdowns at this point. One of the better slot receivers of his era.
But he wasn't always a slot guy. He's now kind of converted to the big slot guy. He was the quintessential do a bit of everything target, and then has now kind of slowed down over the years to be more of a possession guy. Now kind of your post up big slot receiver. But yeah, with a few hundred yards this year, he'll be in the top 25 all time in terms of receiving yards. Now part of that is, as you said, benefit of the era that he was playing in. But the other part is he had some years where that dude was unbelievably good.
I wonder how much of him signing with the Colts is about Alec Pierce's lingering health. Now, he was late to get to camp. A couple of the guys Washington didn't go get. I'm thinking about Jordan Tyson, who's out 2 months with a hamstring, who they could have drafted at number 7. Alec Pierce is on this list. There was somebody else I just saw. Obviously, Biotis today with the injury. But somebody else had an injury where you're like, man, a lot of the guys that people wanted the Commanders to go get, free agency or the draft, it hasn't gone.